My dearly beloved in Christ, the beautiful feast of Christ the King, celebrated on the last Sunday of October every year, was established by Pope Pius XI in, I believe, the year 1925. And it is certainly only fitting that we honor Christ as our King. In fact, it's surprising that the feast of Christ the King was not instituted in the liturgy until the 20th century. And perhaps fittingly so, because if you think back to the Middle Ages, there were monarchies in Europe, and people had a sense of loyalty and devotion to their monarch. They maybe never saw the king, most likely they never did. In the days before photography, they didn't have an image of him, but they knew who their king was, and they had again this sense of loyalty to the king. Well, beginning in late 1700s with the French Revolution in France, monarchies were overthrown, and in their place there were now republics. And so that loyalty to a king reflected the sense of responsibility and loyalty to God, and therefore Christ the King. And so perhaps in the absence of monarchies for the most part, or those that remain very weakened, the Pope established the feast of Christ the King. Now we reflect upon our Lord as our King, and we rejoice that he is our King, but then there's a corresponding responsibility on our part as subjects of the King to be loyal, to be faithful, to be obedient to his will, to his laws, to be a good subject of our King. And when we think about this, we could say that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who are under the dominion of Jesus as their king, and those who reject his kingdom. And they pursue a life of the world, a life of pleasure, a life of self, a life of secular pursuits, etc. I want to read a couple verses from the Epistle of St. James, chapter 4, where this is brought out. He says, "Whoever wishes to be a friend of this world becomes an enemy of God." And then he goes on, "Be subject, therefore, to God, but resist the devil." We remember the gospel of the three temptations of Christ. And it is read every year on the first Sunday of Lent, how our Lord went into the desert before he began his public life, and he fasted for 40 days. And at the end of that time, the devil came to him and tempted him. And there were three temptations. One of them, to turn the stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. The other was, the devil took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Throw yourself down, for surely God will not allow you to be hurt." So it was a temptation towards presumption. But the third was a temptation of covetousness or avarice, the lust for power. The devil took him on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, "All of these will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." And it's interesting because in effect, that's the temptation of the devil to anyone who follows the world and the spirit of the world, the things of the world. "All this will I give you if you'll serve me." Now, when we read that gospel on the first Sunday of Lent every year, we read it according to St. Matthew. But there's an interesting verse in St. Luke's account of the three temptations that St. Matthew does not have. And he says that the devil took our Lord to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, "To thee will I give all this power and their glory, for to me they have been delivered." Then he goes on, "And to whomever I will, I give them. Therefore, if thou wilt worship before me, the whole shall be thine." But notice what the devil says. "I will give these to you because to me they have been given." What did our Lord call the devil? The prince of this world. So the things of this world, the devil has a dominion. When in today's gospel, our Lord was brought before Pilate, Pilate said, "Art thou a king?" And he said, "Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." How important for us to be very careful not to become taken up with the things of this world. We know that it will end very soon. Even if it is for any individual, for the younger members of the congregation, 80 years from now, it's still very soon compared to eternity. The things of this world will end. Let us not then be attached to them. Let us rather be loyal to Christ our King. So as I mentioned earlier, there's this sense of loyalty that people have. And I think it's part of human nature. If you don't have a king to be loyal to, you're going to be loyal to something. People have a hero, might be a sports hero or team or a politician or an actor or some famous person, musician that they look up to. And there's this sense, this bond, this sense of devotion to or loyalty to that individual. We take all of that and we give it to Christ the King. What about loyalty to one's country? Think about the Second World War. After the United States had been attacked by Japan, there was this eagerness on the part of American young men to enter the war. There was no conscription needed. People signed up. They wanted to defend their country. They wanted to fight for their country. We should have that same sense of devotion and loyalty to Christ our King, to fight for Him, to fight for souls, to fight for the truth, to defend our faith, to live it, to defend it by our example, to show it forth by the way we live. So today, let us all reconsecrate ourselves, as we will do after Mass, to Christ as our King. But not just to say the words on the paper, to say, "Christ is my King, I acknowledge Him as my King." But remember, it's how we live that we prove our loyalty to our King. How does Jesus, our King, want us to live? And then we live accordingly. And that's how we show our loyalty, our love, our devotion, our fidelity to Jesus, our God and our King. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.